We are back and we are taking your questions, possibly maybe later, but you know what? Don't get excited about that because there's so much more story to tell. It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. Please join me on my channel that I have. It's called Blue Rock Talk. It's Earth's most interesting conversations, people, places, and things. And I am now launching membership subscription. So I hope that you guys will join me. I've got an entire community of what I call Blue Rockers. That means you're in the know. And all you have to do is go to BlueRockTalk.com, sign in right now and say, Connie, I want to take advantage of this cool membership that you have that's going to give me less than half the price for this annual price, because that's how I got to do it right now so that I can get what I need to get to move forward. You get a break, I'll get a break, and we will travel and have this incredible journey just like what you're going through tonight. I love it. I think you're going to love it, and I hope you do. So go to BlueRockTalk.com, become a Blue Rocker, and let me know, hey, Connie, I want to take a part of this, okay? Subscription, but it will take me all over the place to find and investigate these stories like I'm doing right now. So we're talking about Bigfoot experiences that I've had in the past 2 weeks deep in the Rockies. This one that I'm talking about now happened last weekend. First time I was able to tell everything. I even tried to do it on my own show. Somebody said, oh, you're just trying to hype it up for Coast. No, really, I would probably most likely want to do it on my show, wouldn't I? I just now was able to do it, and I knew that the amount of people listening would help me to get there because the pressure's on. So that night and waking up that next morning, being triggered to remember that the lights were on me and they were on the tent and they were behind a tree coming from the spruce trees, and I don't know what it was. And then glowing on the tents and pointing on the tents. And then the fact that one of the guys had said, hey, there's a light in the tent, and we're going to get to that. All these things come into fruition to me the next day in my head, remembering the remote viewing, which to me is very ET-ish. Thinking about the fact that this huge head that was hairy, that I saw the top part of it, had pointy ears at the top part, like where a teddy bear would. That, to me, sounds like Dog Man. And then I didn't see an orb, and I don't know if orbs have beams of light coming out of them that are intelligent like that. I know the orbs are intelligent, moving around from what people say that have seen them, but I hear a whole lot more stories of an actual saucer with beams of light coming out of them. Whatever it was behind that spruce tree, it was up in the air, and it was pointing down intelligent life. Whatever it was turning it off and on and knew exactly where they wanted to go, and it was a weird-looking light. It was a different color. It reminds me of, and I've only heard one person ever discuss this before, too, and maybe you saw it, but when Stevensville happened, and they had that beam of light come down, and it didn't go all the way down to the ground. It stopped where it wanted to stop. It had control. The light itself, it was like that. It was like this bluish. It was weird. It was not like our flashlights at all. So that to me is ET-ish. Okay, so ET-ish beams of light. I wasn't wanting to run. I wasn't afraid. I was just there. La, 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 la. Who does that? Looking back, I was. Some huge head to the left of me with pointy ears. I still will talk to Jason about it, but to me, that's Dog Man. Okay, so all these things going on, getting remote viewed, ET, these are the things that are going on through my head. And I know it's a Sasquatch area. So, and we found footprints along the way, and we got handprints. Everything you can imagine happened. And then that next day, we heard screams and wood knock and these sounds that were right there on the other side of the ridge. I don't think you could have got any closer unless they were right there with us. I mean, it was so loud. I've never heard them that crystal clear and that loud. It was actually a beautiful thing hearing that in the morning. And we heard it, and we were like, oh, my gosh, that was awesome. But did we see ET stuff too? Did we see Dogman stuff too? So I'm going to talk to the guys about that, because one of the other big questions I have about that is David Politis is a big guy with missing 411, and were we witnessing what some of those people witness before we don't see them again? It's in those areas. It's a valid question. I don't know the answer. So we're going to talk to the guy that took me there, and that's his one of his favorite spots. And then also one of the people that was there enjoying it too with me and the other people that were there too. So I want to welcome in Jason Frank first. It's his spot.
Thank you.
Hey, how are you? Welcome to Coast to Coast, Jason.
Great. Thanks for having me.
You're writing a book about Bigfoot and your experiences. It's still yet to come out. I've been wanting to talk to you when that ever comes out. You finally got to take me to one of your spots. You've had all these stories. I've had you on my show on Blue Rock Talk. A Bigfoot has urinated on you and all sorts of other things.
Yes.
You finally get to take me to a spot and you say, Connie, this isn't even one of my favorites.
Nope.
Tell me about this spot, and then we'll bring on our other guests too.
This spot's very close to my favorite spot. It's about 3 or 4 miles away from it, but this time of year, as you notice, the snow is too deep to be able to get into my favorite spot. And I've had hundreds of encounters at this location to where I really don't even get excited when they're right next to the tent and flying, as Jim noticed. I'm like, yeah, that's what happens up here, you know, and that's gone on for years now. I'm in my 13th, 14th year of doing this, mostly up in that area. This spot that I took you is my favorite springtime spot, because it's really the only place we can get to early in the year because the snow is so deep. That's a big limitation. But the geographically where this spot is directly down the hill from what I believe to be one of the most active spots on that mountain. And it's also a place where if you get in there, they become extremely aggressive. And we've had a lot of aggressive encounters up there. But if you stay out of that area, then you have very passive, very peaceful encounters, which have happened to me countless times. And that's where a lot of my collection, footprints, handprints, casts, recordings. It's just endless, the things that I've gotten up there.
Well, you and I, when we first got there, a blizzard started, and you're doing all this work. I got video of him doing all this stuff. He's out there in the blizzard putting together his grill and all this stuff. And so I'm like, I should be helping him, but I'm freezing, and there's a blizzard out there. He knows what he's doing. And I'll show that video at one point. So we had blizzard, hailstorm, ice, mud, everything you can imagine we had. And then we had all these unbelievable things occur. You had decided that we were going to leave a day early. So as we're packing up, we heard these unreal, crystal clear, beautiful sounds that I've never heard ever before in my life, that close and that crisp and clear.
They were pretty fired up. They were for sure.
Well, I was concerned, you know, as we left, I thought, man, with all that activity that we just had, what was going to be next? I kind of wonder, and you may go against me on this, just because I started thinking of David Politis stuff.
Yeah.
I thought, would we be there? Would we be there the next day? Are we going to be on another planet looking around and go, hey, I guess they'll never see us on Earth again? Because that, to me, was E.T. stuff. And Elvis, to me, was Dogman. So tell me about that. And do you worry about the David Politis? You know David.
Oh, yeah. I know David. I'm familiar with all his work. And, yeah, after going through all the things that have happened to me out in the woods, and just countless, there's been a few terrifying moments. But there again, I've never been harmed. And the blue light that you were discussing, I had seen that one other time before with a bunch of people. About 8 years ago, we saw a large orb.
So it was an orb with a beam.
Yes,
so you saw an orb with a beam.
Well, it wasn't shooting a beam. It was just a generalized glowing orb about the size of a beach ball. And it was going in between the trees and it had like about a 50-mile-an-hour wind that night. I mean, the fire was blowing horizontal and this thing was completely unaffected by the wind. And it was picking its way through the aspen trees and came out in the open, started drifting up the mountain, and then it just shot off into space. Just, and you're talking about shock and how, you know, you're just trying to process things. There was like five of us standing there with cameras in our hands because we had just come out of those
and
woods.
And you never took a picture.
We never took a picture.
That's
we were too busy just standing there going, what in the world is that, you know? And and just bewildered, you know, and all I could think about was the orbs that they talk about at the Skinwalker Ranch. And I'm like, you know, because that vaporizes dogs and everything else, and I really don't want to end up that way. And so when the tent got lit up and Jim said, "What is that?" And I looked at the roof, I said, "Don't go outside."
Yeah, now,
I don't want to know what that is.
Yeah. Before we get to that and introduce him, tell your background. You're like this brave guy, ranger. All tell people your background.
I've done some crazy stuff. I was airborne infantry and did all that stuff. Also a registered nurse with a lot of my career was working in corrections and jails and that kind of thing. I just kind of did a lot of things. I drove several millions of miles in the U.S. and fell in love with coast to coast back mid-90s when I was driving around trying to find AM radio stations on my dial, you know. And it just did a lot of different things, but I grew up in the mountains here in Colorado. I've been hunting and fishing my entire life. That's how I got into this by accident many years ago, just finding tracks out in the snow. And that sent me on this whole trip, and I got in with some great researchers who kind of, you know, took me under their wing, showed me what was going on, and then I kind of applied my life experience to it, and it turns out that I'm really good at this kind of stuff. And, you know, and it gets to be such a big part of your life.
Yes.
And it's weird, you know, I try to write about it in my book where it's strange to tell people, I not only believe, I know, I've seen this thing. It was at arm's length. I mean, it was right there.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, and as you know, it plays in your head over and over, and you'll be dealing with that for the next year and a half before it even starts to dissipate.
It's absolutely true. And the reason why to me is like, it doesn't compute. It's not supposed to compute. I think that, you know, we are supposed to live this thing called the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of that, I think we're programmed to live the human experience. Yet some of us go beyond that for some reasons, for whatever reasons, hybridization, I don't know. Or they didn't, I believe in God. So and I know there's a creator, but it's almost as though our programming wasn't supposed to go this far or something. That we don't have the nodes in them. Nobody created that program. They haven't put it in us yet, or they've taken it away from us, as Ingo Swann and others would say. They've taken this stuff away from us so we can be dummied down and not know about all these types of things. I don't know what it is, but we can't put our finger on it. We can't. I mean, come on, listen. Okay. A long time ago, and in the movies and the black and white films, hey, there's this big Frankenstein that's out there and is trying to rape my daughter, and the whole community would grab those sticks and flames and torches. Mm-hmm. Let's go find this creature. And, you know, in real community, I would see that happening too. Hey, somebody try. Well, let's go, you know, find this thing.
Yep.
You tell somebody, oh my gosh, I just saw like lights in the sky and this thing was beaming down and it lifted the body up of somebody and there was this big 12-foot creature and it was 5 feet across. Oh yeah, well okay, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
what's that about?
It's strange, and I wrote it again in my book I don't want to go into detail, but I had many years ago, my first year of doing this, I had an extremely terrifying close encounter with one that reached in my tent. I had him at gunpoint, and then he urinated on my tent and all of my stuff. And it was just a surreal experience. And for months and months, I had nightmares of that hand coming through. And, you know, I'd wake up all sweaty. And, you know, I mean, it's almost nightmarish to see a hand the size of a dinner plate with like sausage-like fingers, you know. And it was so weird because that happened in the morning. I packed everything up with the rest of the guys, and I was driving home. And I stopped at this local restaurant on the way back, and I had Sasquatch urine on my shirt. I couldn't wash it off my hands. And people don't know, but that stuff's oily and it does not wash off. It sticks, man, and it doesn't go away.
Oh, that's what she said.
and I'm sitting in the corner, and I'm kind of in shock. I'm probably walking around like a zombie, and I'm in
that dude
in this,
smells, Dad.
Yeah,
what's going on?
And I'm sitting in the corner, and I ordered my burger or whatever I was going to eat, and I'm watching these people coming in from their Sunday, you know, going to church and having their lunch. And there's families and little kids running around, and I'm sitting there. I felt like I was sitting in a mason jar, and I'm like, I wanted to stand up and scream. I'm like, you don't know what lives up there. And,
yeah,
you know,
right.
And instead I just had to, like, finish eating, stagger out to my car, and try to get home, you know. And it was a surreal thing. It took me weeks to get over that.
So tell me about Elvis.
So Elvis, and this is just a theory. I have no way. I routinely see this one with these pointy ears. And I had an encounter with a guy up there at that location. It's probably been about 8 years ago. And it involved a baby. And it's the only time I've ever encountered a baby. And the baby came up to the tent and was crying. And the parent had been standing behind our tent for probably 10 or 15 minutes and playing with the tent. And it was quite large. I'm guessing 8 or 10 feet tall. And we could hear it breathing, and it would push on the tent and do all these different things. You could hear the fingers drumming on the trailer that was parked back there. But the baby walked up to the tent, and eventually, which was the most human response I've ever heard, the baby standing outside the tent, and it's crying, sniveling, and it sounded like a mixture of like a toddler with a bobcat, had a cat-like quality to it. And the parent just kind of took an annoying kind of like a and walked over there and picked up the baby and walked off, which really impressed the guy that was with me because he was a huge skeptic up to that point, and totally changed his life, I imagine. But anyway, so then you fast forward a few years after that when it got bigger, and I started kind of just getting little hints of this thing. And about 5 years ago, we were up there and got caught into a huge rainstorm, and I was collecting rainwater to shower with, and it was in this downpouring rain, and my neighbor was sleeping in the tent right where Jim was sleeping on this weekend, and we heard this thing walk up, sound like a monkey, and it started playing in the water, and it was 16 inches away, and you just hear, and you hear splash, 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 and then it'd run away, and then it'd come back. And it did that for about 5 times over about a 2-hour period, and we ended up getting a hair and stuff out of that, and it compulsively poked a bunch of holes in this cardboard. And I got a glimpse of it the next night when the headlights accidentally shined on my tent, and I saw this figure that looked like Elvis standing right next to my tent. And I'm looking right at it, and I'm kind of waking up, and I'm like, why is this guy standing outside my tent with a motorcycle helmet on? Because his head was enormous. And then, you know, eventually it ran off, and then we actually got footage of it the next night on the thermal imager. And it came back and entertained my wife for a minute because it was playing with a light inside the tent.
Oh, my. So that was Elvis. Because when I had asked you, you know, was Elvis, did you see the face? Is this a dog man? Do you believe Elvis is a Sasquatch, or do you believe it's a dog man?
I don't know. I mean, from what I saw outside the tent, looked very Sasquatch-like. But last summer, I got about 10 minutes. I stared at him right in the middle of the day, and he was hiding in the bushes. And the only thing I could see was his ears poking out. He was so camouflaged, I couldn't even take a picture. It would have done no good. We were trying to get the thermal on it, and he took off, and you know, that's when I noticed his ears.
All right, and I noticed it too, and it was like a dog man. It wasn't like a Sasquatch. So more to come here, Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here, Sasquatch deep in the Rockies. Coast to Coast AM, Connie Willis here, talking about personal accounts in the past 15 days of Bigfoot, Sasquatch deep in the Rockies. Thank goodness I'm in the position I'm in here, because people can reach out to me and say, hey, I know you're in the area. Let me take you to one of my hotspots. I love it because that's my thing. I want to know what is going on. When I went to this area that Jason Frank, who you just spoke to, was telling me about, we'll finally get to go to there. It wasn't just Sasquatchy. It was dogman-y, missing 411-y lights, beams of lights, glowing illumination, and some of these things seem to have been forgotten quickly, but triggered again the next day. I'm going to bring in the other person that was one of the other people that were there. I'm going to bring in some of the other guys that were there too later, but they all had other special things going on. So Jim Meyer is also with us. Jim, welcome to Coast to Coast. How are
you? Thank you. Great.
You're welcome. Tell me who you are. I know, you know, everybody loves the big Sasquatch Outpost store in Bailey, and you're the owner of that. And it's a wonderful place. Awesome. You have to go to that.
Yeah, we own the Sasquatch. My wife and I own the Sasquatch Outpost in the huge town of Bailey, Colorado. And we also house the Sasquatch Encounter Discovery Museum that we've had for about 3 years. And it's been awesome to see the interest in people coming to go through the museum.
So I've gone, met you a couple times because you do a lot of events, a lot of neat things. Ron Moorhead, you know, you did that kind of thing. And I met a lot of really great people at your events. They're all the best of the best people. I met for the first time David Pilates there. I mean, I've met him many times by phone or anything, but never in person. And also Dennis, that was part of the Pancake House I guess the Erickson Project,
right.
Everybody says, I know it from Kentucky, is a pancake house.
Right.
So all these great people, all these neat things, Jason's showing off all the things that he has there too. I didn't know you were even showing up at the event that weekend. And here comes Jim that next morning, early, bright and early. So tell us your experiences of what, you know, I experienced too, but
right.
Your version of it.
Well, it was a crazy weekend, no question about it. So much happened in one weekend, more than I've ever had happen. I know that's normal for Jason, but it was more than I've ever had happen in one weekend. But yeah, the first morning after I arrived, after the first night, I could hear them walking around the tent that night. Real soft footprints, but clearly something walking around the tent. And it froze that night, so that was a really cold night. So I woke up, that was about 2:30. Went back to sleep, so maybe about 4:45, 5, I woke up again. It's just getting light. I'm kind of lying there in my cot, listening to the birds. And so we had this canvas tent, and we have a rain fly over the outside of it. I see what I thought was the rain fly lift up and come back down. And I thought, did I just imagine that, or did that really happen? Then it went up again and came back down. I thought, oh, my, there's something right next to the tent, messing with the tent. Then it starts pushing from the outside, pushing on the tent, pushing my jacket out, which was hanging on the inside. I didn't feel any fear. I just kind of turned now to face it, and I'm watching it. I wish I had thought to grab my phone and film it. I don't know why you never think of these things.
Never think of that. There's a reason.
There's
something to that.
So for about 30 minutes, whatever this was outside the tent is pushing, moving its hands around. I can see a shadow outside as it gets lighter and lighter. I see a hairy arm. So there's definitely something outside the tent moving around.
When you say it's a hairy arm, is that because it was...
I see the shadow of the light. You know, the arm is between the light and the tent.
Okay.
So I can see the shadow.
Ugh.
And it's not making any noise. It's just very quiet. Everything it's doing is very quiet. And then after about 30 minutes, you were getting cold. You started the truck.
Sorry.
Right when you started the truck, Jason woke up, and I said, Jason. And I pointed next to me, and I'm like, look.
I could see it.
And you saw something pushing on the tent.
You saw it.
I could see the hand, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, and it's funny, even that day, I thought I imagined it.
You questioned it all day.
Absolutely.
That's when I knew you saw it or had that happen, because you continuously questioned it.
So then the second night, we're asleep, and I can't remember which happened first. I think it was the light, but I woke up. And I look up, and there's this light, and I can't tell, where's that light coming from? And it's on top of the tent. It's not like a flashlight moving around. It's shining on top of the tent. And I said, Jason, what in the heck is that? And he looks up, and he goes, I don't know. Where's that light coming from? I said, I don't know. And maybe it was 10, 15 seconds, and then it was gone.
It was gone. Yep.
So you saw it turn off, because I'm on the other side. I'm on the outside watching. It's almost like I keep thinking someone's got like one of them string lights in the closet and they click it, you know. And so I'm on the outside seeing that thing on you.
And it was weird. It was just, I've never been
strange.
In a tent and seen something shining from above, I guess, down onto the tent.
Was it illuminating? Was it blue? What was it?
Kind of a bluish, but we had a blue cover over the
tent.
We
had a blue cover, so that may be where the blue tent came from, but it was definitely shining down, and then it was
bright.
Gone. It was bright.
Yeah, and when I saw the light, the beam of light, it was a bluish white. It was a white, so white that it was blue kind of thing, but it was also see-through-ish, but you saw the zone of it, but it didn't illuminate as a full glow until it was inside wherever it went.
And it didn't illuminate inside the tent, just the roof.
The roof. So we're lying there looking up at something shining down from outside.
But it did illuminate inside the tent.
No, and just
you
the
saw
roof.
Both. Oh, just the roof.
The roof. Yeah, it didn't light up the inside of the tent.
Well, you know the other couple that was over there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a yellow tent.
Mm-hmm.
That thing was bright. I was like, what are they doing in there? The bright lights like that. It was like the sun.
Yeah,
okay, so I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So that went off. I guess we fell asleep again. Then I woke up an hour later, still middle of the night, and I hear something scratching real lightly on the outside of the tent.
Oh, sheesh.
So I sit up in my cot, And I'm thinking, did I hear that? And I'm listening more closely. And scratch, scratch, scratch. So my phone, I finally thought of my phone. So my phone is lying on the bed next to me. So I start fumbling around for my phone, and something outside the tent, so the bed is right up against the tent, something outside the tent, and I don't know if they hit the bed or kind of half lifted the bed, but it just all of a sudden, bam, bam, bam. And I yell, what the? And Jason wakes up, and I said, something just hit my bed. And he thought I said, something hit my head.
Yeah.
I said, did you hear that? And he said, yeah, I heard that snort over here. And he's pointing on his side of the tent. And I thought, no, it's not a snort. Something hit my bed. And I think it heard me messing around next to me on the cot and just reacted and just hit or grabbed the bed. I don't know what it did, but scared me to death.
And that's also when I heard the female voices behind the truck.
And that was behind me.
Behind where Connie was sitting.
Yeah, they were talking back and forth, yeah.
I didn't hear that. Thank you, God.
Nobody else was up. Trust me, there's nobody out there but whoever was out there. So.
Well, I couldn't wait till you got up and the light came up and you got out. Then I knew, okay, I can start the truck. I can go to the bathroom.
I can get warm.
Oh, it was freezing. It was, but you had another experience, and that's when you and I talked and I described what I saw, and you said, oh, you saw Elvis, and then you came out talking about the different sounds.
And then we found tracks and hand marks on the truck.
Hand marks,
it was crazy.
Yeah. I was amazed that you mentioned the pointed ears, because I had told Jim about that previously.
But we hadn't told you.
No.
I never remember hearing pointed ears, because I was like, yeah, pointed ears.
And he shows up every time I'm up there. I see him anymore. It's like almost every time I go up there.
I just wonder, what do you think of me thinking that it's a possibility of maybe this missing 411 type stuff?
I don't know. He hasn't hurt me yet, and he's been around for quite a while.
I tell you, all that activity we had, when you said, let's go, it was like, okay, because I didn't know what could have happened after that.
Well, they had plenty of opportunity if they wanted to hurt us.
I think they were pretty much right at the point of, we looked at everybody through the light, we got close and looked inside the vehicle. So I don't know what their plan would have been, and I don't know if they're all related. I don't know, you know, I've never heard of an orb with beams. So what was behind that thing, that those spruce trees? It was up high. It was a very different kind of light that I've ever seen in my life. It was directional. It was intelligent. And that other, and Elvis was pointy ears, and something viewed me. Now, so I don't know what, I don't know. That's ET stuff to me.
Who knows?
That's ET dog stuff to me. It's not Sasquatch stuff. But so as we're getting ready to leave, what do we hear?
This is amazing.
What do we hear?
So we're getting ready to leave. We're having breakfast, about to pack up the camp. And
Jason's an awesome cook.
He is. So we're talking like you do around the camp. And then we hear some voices talking real loud and then a scream. So we all stop talking and we say, did you guys hear that? And then while we're quiet, the voices again, and then a really loud scream. A woman, like a horror movie kind of scream. And we all heard it.
It was just like what you always hear people say, it is far, far away on the audio. This was right there.
This is maybe 50 yards away at the most.
Yeah.
Best I ever heard goes right up against Sierra Sounds with Ron Moorhead. Ron, you got some competition, but we don't have it on tape.
So we didn't have any recorders running. So we quickly took a recorder over there and set it up. And then we kept breaking down the camp and we didn't hear anything more ourselves, but later playing the recordings, there was more that we couldn't hear, and it was crazy.
So let's pull out some of the recordings that Jim went and got later and hear what they are. I know that we got about 17 of them, but time-wise, we're going to just pull out his top ones and see how far we can go with them. So what's the first one we're going to hear?
The first one is a couple of tree knocks and then a voice. Oh, sorry. That was the laugh. That was a strange laugh.
Oh, wrong one. The laugh. Okay, let's hear that again so we'll know what it was. The laugh.
Go ahead. Play the one you just played.
The strange laugh. Oh, I don't know if that's a laugh. That's kind of freaky.
I don't know what it was, but.
Sobbing.
It's weird.
Was there like click, 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 click,
click? Yeah, I heard that too.
What was that?
That was a woodpecker, I think.
It could have been a woodpecker.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What's your next?
So the next one is number 7 on the numbers.
Number seven.
Okay. So you hear tree knocks, and then you hear something yell that sounds like it says Luther. But that wasn't us. That wasn't our camp. That
and
was.
We were the only people there.
We were the only people there.
Yeah, nobody could get up.
Yeah, we were a dead end road with snow everywhere. There's nobody.
So play
else
it one more
there.
Time and.
Yeah, let's hear that again, Luther. There's a whole lot of it's talking in there.
There's a whole talking, but that's us at the camp.
Oh,
but
it
this
is. Oh.
This is yelling from away, further away.
Luther.
Or something. I mean. Luther or something.
Okay.
And then
let's do one more real quick.
One more is the 10th one.
Okay.
Can you hear that voice?
No.
Yeah.
Let's hear that again. Okay. Oh, yeah. Barely.
Yeah.
It's like,
but again, that's not us talking. That's coming from the other direction.
Oh, sheesh.
So they're talking. They're saying something.
They are. They're conversing.
Imitating
constantly.
Us, maybe. I don't know.
I think they're just communicating, being what they are every day, that we're just not there. We don't hear it. It's like if a tree falls in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, do you hear it? And by the way, if a mime goes in the woods, a tree lands on it, kills it, and it dies, does anybody care? Just saying.
If a Sasquatch talks in the woods, did anybody hear it?
So again, we have, these have been personal accounts of what I've experienced in the past 15 days or so with Sasquatch, Bigfoot, E.T., Dogman, lights in the sky. I don't know what everything is in the Rockies, deep in the Rockies. This is an amazing area, but folks, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. So before we head out, quickly tell us more about where we can find you, Jason.
Sure. Unfortunately, I haven't got everything up and running because I'm kind of new to this game. The book will be out soon. It's called Harry's True Stories of Sasquatch: Ongoing Encounters in the Colorado Rockies. My website is BigfootOfTheRockies.com. It's currently under construction. We'll be up, and I'll be posting things as I find more stuff as I go. I'll try to process them. As most people who know me, I'm not a tech person at all. So that's the best way to reach me. Once it's up and running, I hope everybody enjoys it and they check out my book.
And Jim?
You can find us at SasquatchOutpost.com. That's our website. And our podcast is YouDon'tKnowSquatch.com.
I still awesome I've heard music. That somewhere. I'm not where did I hear that before? I keep thinking that. Maybe I just heard it from you.
You heard it from me. Shirley.
I've heard it from you, Shirley. And stop calling me
stop
Shirley.
Calling me Shirley.
So any last words, what would you like to say to everybody real quick? And you think of something?
I would just like to tell people, if you decide to do this, be safe. Mm-hmm. Don't hurt them, because maybe the last thing you do, try to stay calm. And, you know, when you hear a witness, you know, take it seriously, because honestly, it can be very dangerous. It's very similar to swimming with sharks. It really is.
It's real. It's real.
It is real.
And though they can be very friendly and there's a whole relationship involved, you still just be cautious.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I would agree. Don't go alone. Mm-hmm. And the attitude you have when you go out is important. I don't know how they know that, but they know the attitude that you have and what your perspective is. So have an open heart and an open mind.
Love it, love it, love it. Thank you all. Sasquatch Journey Before with Ingrid and Tony Durant. And they're here, and they're on YouTube. You'll find them, as well as Jason Frank and Jim Myers, who we just talked to now. Thank you that they have taken me out there to their hotspots.
Thank
you guys very much. And thanks for being on Coast to Coast. Hey, thank everybody out there, too. If you like the show, write in and let us know, okay? I'd like that. From the KOA News Radio studios of iHeartMedia in Denver, many thanks going out to Julie Talbot, Bill May, Lisa Lyon, Dan Galante, Chris Burrows, Stephanie Smith, Tommy Danheiser, Lex Lonehood, Greg Bishop, Sean LeDesur, Tim Banal, Gina Savalti, Tricia Pepe, Donna Walker, Mike Cosio, George Knapp, Greg Foster, Mike Wolf, Angie Sillo, and George Norrie. Absolutely, of course. And thank you again. I hope you'll join me on my new channel, Blue Rock Talk, Earth's Most Interesting Conversations. All you have to do is go to BlueRockTalk.com right now. Tell me, hey, Connie, I want to get into this new membership thing you're doing. I want that big price that's going to cut it in half and more so. And I'll send you out what you need to know. So, wow. I hope that people don't stop taking me out. I hope that we continue to do this and we figure that what it's all about. I will be seeing David Politis soon. I'm going to talk to him about these types of things. Because I don't know. I didn't know if we were going to make it through if we stayed another night. Seriously. So until we meet again, keep watching the night skies and continue with me to seek out the strange and also uncover the unknown. For Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis.